Shabbat Shalom on this final Shabbat before Pesach, our festival of freedom and spring and hope, beginning next Friday night. Thank you for coming out this evening, even as the onset of spring break has scattered many of our TBS members far and wide. So your presence is helping us enable our community to have a Shabbat experience together. Thank you, everyone who has come. I hope a few of you filled out the cards when you came in of an interesting Passover question you might want to read at Seder. You might want to discuss at Seder. So we'll see. And you can always just come up with one as we're discussing it. Thank you to Janet Christensen for filling in for Rachel Schreiman, who's off on a pre-college visit with Adam. We're always happy to see our homegrown TBS kids, now as grown-ups, fulfilling grown-up roles in our community. Welcome to all who are here to celebrate the naming of Hadley Hill. So namely, not only the Hills, but her grandparents, and naming also her mother, Lauren Hill. We are always thrilled to see the Hills, who are relatively new members still, walk in with their big smiles on their faces. And we know that Owen and Julia will be wonderful Jewish role models for their little sister when she's old enough to come as a student herself each week. Whether you are here to get some creative ideas for your Passover Seder, or here to welcome Shabbat with song and with prayer, and with oneg cookies. This is our last chametz at the temple for a few weeks, so enjoy your cookies and challah. It's always kind of the saddest Shabbat of the year when we pick up the challah cover and there's a matzah under it. But it only lasts 7 to 8 days, depending on your practice. So, or whether you're here to pray for someone who is in need of healing or to remember a loved one, we are very glad that you are here. Our theme of Passover, or one of the themes, is opening our doors and being welcoming to the visitor, to the stranger. And the two traditional songs that begin Shabbat services are about exactly that. Our first one being Shalom Aleichem, in which we welcome the Shabbat angels into our midst who will accompany us and guide us throughout the Shabbat day. Shalom Aleichem is on page 10.
Thank you.
families to come on up to light candles for us in honor of the namings this evening. We are doing candle lighting number 2 on page 12. And the Radhams are acculturating themselves from Florida to our warm spring weather we have up here.
We have been taught in days of old that Shabbat begins at sundown, but sundown comes so early on the cold winter's day, and in summertime, the sun is like a child not wanting to go to bed. The summer light lingers in the sky even as we gather in prayer. So when does Shabbat begin?
Shabbat begins when we have set aside our work week with its busyness and lists. Shabbat begins when we are all together around the Shabbat table or in our sanctuary, both homes for us.
When we are finally together, we light and bless the candles. That is when Shabbat begins. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher kedushanu mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'hadlik ner shel Shabbat.
Amen. Second song of welcoming for the Shabbat day is Lecha Dodi, where we envision Shabbat as a beautiful bride and we welcome her into our sanctuary by, at the last verse, rising and as she walks into the door. Lecha Dodi, page 14.
La 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 Baruch Hu, page 17. Morning, evening, the sun and the moon, the water that I drink, and the fresh air that I breathe. You created me, my mind, my heart, my spirit. All that I am is because of who you made me to be. The best gift you gave me is freedom. You built a world in which I can learn and grow, a world that is never completed, so that I may continue to enrich it. For all of this, for all of your creations, I thank you and praise you, God. The middle of page 21. Some people cover their eyes for the Shema, in part to focus intently on the meaning of this declaration of faith. We are too easily misled by sight, by the flash and the dazzle of things around us. To listen within is the secret of the soul, and by covering our eyes, we seek to do what the prayer commands. Listen. Listen to the harmonies of the world, to the stirring of each individual soul. Shema on page 22. Adonai Elohecha, bechol levavacha, uvechol nafshecha, uvechol meodecha. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele, asher anochi mitzavacha hayom, al levavecha, v'shinantam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivtecha b'veitecha, uvlechtecha v'aderech, uvshochbecha uvkumecha, ukshartam la'ot al yadecha, v'hayu letotafot bein einecha, uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha, uvish arecha, lema'an tizkeru v'asitem et kol mitzvotai, v'yitem kedoshim l'elohechem, ani Adonai Elohechem, asher hotzeti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, l'yot lachem l'elohim, ani Adonai Elohechem. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Set these words which I command you this day upon your heart. Teach them faithfully to your children. Speak of them in your home and on your way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your hand. Let them be a symbol before your eyes. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Be mindful of all my mitzvot and do them. So shall you consecrate yourselves to your God. I, the Lord, am your God, who led you out of Egypt to be your God. I, the Lord, am your God. Mi chamocha is the ultimate song of Passover, our celebration of crossing the sea from slavery to freedom. So in honor of Passover, we have a special tune, which you all know, and it might be easiest to sing along from the words in your service folder. Am I leading? Mi chamocha ba elim Adonai, mi chamocha ne'edar ba kodesh. No Rahila, no safe land. No Rahila, no safe land. Adonai Imoch, Leolam Va'ed. Adonai Imoch, Leolam Va'ed. Should we try that again? Nihamocha Ba'eli. Many are traveling near and far in the week ahead, maybe for vacation or to be with family for Seder's next weekend. We pray that wherever our travels take us, we are surrounded by peace, by safety, and by love. Hashkivenu, our prayer for protection, can be found on the bottom of page 26.
Honey.
continue with the central portion of our prayer service, the Tefillah, beginning at the top of page 29. Please rise. Adonai, Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu v'Imoteinu, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, v'Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Sarah, Elohei Rivka, Elohei Rachel, v'Elohei Leah, Ha'el Hagadol Hagibur v'Hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, V'Kone Hakol, V'zocher chastei avot v'imahot, u'mevi geula livnei v'nehem, lema'an shmo b'ahava, melech ozer u'moshia u'magen, baruch ata Adonai, magen Avraham v'ezrat Sara, ata gibor la'olam Adonai, mechaye hakol ata rav lehoshia, mechalkel chayim b'chesed, Mechaye hakol berachamim rabim, Somech noflim v'rofe cholim, Umatir asurim, Umekayem emunato lishene afar, Mi chamocha baal givurot, Umi domelach, Melech meimit umechaye umatzmiach Yeshua, V'ne'eman ata lachayot hakol, Baruch ata Adonai, Mechaye Hakol, the middle of page 31. We acknowledge the eternal strength and might of God as the abundant source of all life. We see God's power all around us in the miracle of life. God gives us life and God gives us strength. We ask God for help to find this strength within ourselves, to choose life and to use our strength for good. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot, Melo Kol Haaretz Kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with your glory. You may be seated. The middle of page 34. We thank you, Adonai, for giving us the covenant of Shabbat, which we renew with you weekly. The challenges of life and work often make us weary. Shabbat helps us rejuvenate, reflect, and connect with our spirituality. We are grateful to have this temple community to celebrate the holiness of Shabbat. As we prepare to celebrate our holiday of freedom from slavery, freedom from hardship, from oppression, from war, we pray for peace in our world, peace in our homes and in our hearts. We sing together our prayer, Shalom Rav, a great peace, on page 39.
Shalom Rav, Yisrael Amcha, Tasim Le'olam.
5. We pray for our members, our loved ones and friends who are going through treatment, who are healing from illness or surgery, those who are healing their hearts and minds from difficult circumstances. We join together in Misha Berach, turning our hearts outward, sending our care and our prayers out into the world for greater comfort and strength and peace for all who need it.
Bring peace down. Oh, say, shall. yaaseh, hu yaaseh shalom. Hu yaaseh, hu yaaseh, hu yaaseh shalom. Hu yaaseh, hu yaaseh, hu yaaseh shalom. Alleluia. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down.
I'd like to call up the health family. So we have been delighted that the Hill family has been an enthusiastic part of our TBS family for almost a year now, right? And let me turn that down because I can hear the feedback. And tonight with joy, we bestow Hebrew names to two generations of Hills. Lauren is a lifelong Jew who is officially receiving her Hebrew name tonight. And she is named after her paternal grandfather, Irving Alexander. Does that sound familiar? Hadley is also a lifelong Jew, but lifelong for her is a little shorter, a little less than a year. She will receive the Hebrew name that will be written on her prayer book when she gets to sixth grade, will be used at her bat mitzvah for many happy Jewish occasions in the years to come. And she is being named for her paternal grandmother, Shirley. Her?
My grandmother.
Okay. Great-grandmother. So Hadley, as I mentioned earlier, can be seen coming in for Sunday school every Sunday morning with her brother and sister. A few years, you'll be coming in on your, walking in on your own 2 feet. So I'm going to explain, before I officially give Lauren her Hebrew name, I want to explain the name Alexandra, because Alexander and Alexandra, the feminine version, are both in Greek, but many centuries ago, Alexander, yes, was an emperor who was very kind to the Jews. And so one of the Talmudic rabbis came to him and said, "We want to honor you for being so good in letting us be Jewish." And he, you know, "What can we do for you?" And he said, "Well, why don't you make a statue of me and put it in your synagogue? Because that would be a Greek, you know, that would have been a Greek way to honor someone." And the rabbi said, "You know, we don't really do that as Jews, but this is what we'll do. We will name our children after you, and that's the greatest honor we can give you, is to name our children after you." So for to this very day, it is very common to have Jews named Alexander or Alexandra. And that's your name too. Excellent. Mishabera, Chavotenu, V'imotenu, Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, V'Leia, Hu Yivarech, Et Lauren. Of course, now you're crying. You were so good for the whole beginning. May the one who blessed our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a happy occasion. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, bless Lauren, who has come here before God and community to receive a Jewish name. You are known as Lauren, and from this time forth, you will also be known within the Jewish community as Alexandra. May this name bring respect and honor to you and to the Jewish people. We ask God's blessings of life, responsibility and happiness upon you now and always. And we'll do the final blessing with the two of you together. So mazel tov to you. And now Hadley, are you ready? Eloheinu v'Elohei avoteinu v'imoteinu, our God and God of our ancestors, we join together now in thanking you, God, for the gift of this precious child. Yes, I know, who has so much to say. That's a good Jewish trait to have. And the blessing of this sacred moment, we pray that her life will be, yes, will be of health and happiness, full of love and learning. May Torah always be in her heart. And her hands be engaged in tikkun olam, helping to fix our world. Yes, and you now receive the Hebrew name of Sarah Bat Alexandra. We hope that, God, your presence will be with her always, guiding and supporting her through all the stages of her life. As she grows, may she do her name proud. May she honor those who came before her through her actions and inspire future generations. Yes, and you will have so much more to say as time goes on. Yeah, I know, that's funny. May her parents, Lauren and Joel, with great wisdom and patience guide her. And we have guide her in with those Jewish values we have long held so dear. And may her community of friends and family be present for her always, as we are in this very moment, as we say amen. And we'll get our blessing for both of you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May God bless you and keep you. Ya'er Adonai panav eilecha v'chunecha. May God's light always shine on you. May you feel the warmth of that light now and always. Yisa Adonai panav eilecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May God's face always be raised to you and give you the gift of peace. Yes, mazel tov, you made it. Mazel tov. And we have a certificate, and we'll have after services, a couple people, witnesses sign. Julia and Owen, you want to close the Ark of Worship? Be very gentle. Julia, you want to help? Slowly.
So, a little bit of interaction from the crowd here. Okay, so what is a Seder and what is a Haggadah? So the root of the word Haggadah means telling. What are we telling? What do we tell? We're telling what story? Telling the story of the Exodus on this night. That's what we are telling. So a Seder just means order. So this is probably an exaggeration, but probably not a huge exaggeration, a million different Haggadahs out there. If you have ever been to a really big, like gone to New York where you have a huge Jewish bookstore, you have seen just rows and rows, what's it called, shelves and shelves, that's what I mean to say, shelves and shelves, and rows of Haggadahs for every possible occasion. But a Haggadah is really just kind of a cheat sheet, because really what Seder night is supposed to be is the telling, the talking, the stories, the discussion.
reading out of a book should be sort of ideally a bare minimum of what you do on Seder night. That mostly what it should be is engaging you and your guests in talking about the themes and the story in a way that is relevant to you. So that is our major theme. I want to point out I was going to bring my laser pointer and I forgot. I don't know what that Hamilton Haggadah is. I don't know if that's even a real thing, but I guess it has music parodies in it. I don't know. But A Different Night is my favorite Haggadah. That's the one I always use because it has lots of commentary in it, lots of activities in it. It's just full of things you could do it, you know, do a different Seder every year. It's a great volume. One thing that some people do is give their guests all different Haggadahs with different commentary in it, and then you can get to your, when, because every Haggadah is the same order, right? Seder means order. There's 15 steps of a Seder, regardless of what Haggadah to use 15 steps to the Seder. So you look at each part and someone will say, oh, here's an interesting little thing in mine that I want to share. And that's a nice way to do a Seder, as everyone kind of shares what they have in front of them. So there are many themes of Passover. You can't possibly go into depth. Some of you have probably at some point in your life gone to a Seder that went to like 2 or 3 in the morning. Maybe you went to a Chabad Seder or, you know, whatever. You've been to somebody's house where the Seder, you know, went half the night, and that's not always everybody's favorite thing to do. But if a Seder is really engaging and it's really interactive and it's all about discussion about things that you feel are really pertinent, you know, you can have a Seder for a few hours and it goes by pretty quickly. So here are just some of the themes that are in the Haggadah, that are in the telling, that are part of the holiday. And, you know, there's probably going to be one or two. So I'm going to ask you, you know, which one kind of jumps out at you? And it won't be necessarily the same every year. One is, what does it mean to be free, and what does it mean to be a slave? Those are big open questions. You know, freedom from what? Enslaved to what? Spring is here, sort of. That's why I said coming with question mark. We're hoping on next Friday we're going to have some spring here. Rebirth and renewal, the egg, you know, there's different symbols. The symbol of spring, things coming back to life. Hope. There are 4 different statements in Exodus 6, promises that God is going to save us. So is 4 a number that sounds familiar for Passover Seder? What do you have? 4 questions, 4 wine cups. For children or sons, 4 is a popular number, and that's what it relates to. Hospitality, being open and welcoming. We say at the Seder, let us open our door. Anyone who is in need, please come. We say open the door to those who are in physical need, and we say open to the door to those who are in need of community, that may be people who are not in physical need, but are in emotional need, in need for company. We care about all those people. Elijah, we open the door for Elijah. This is a big theme of Seder. We welcome the stranger. Being grateful for our blessings in Dayenu. If only we had one of our blessings as a people, it would have been enough, right? Dayenu means it would have been enough. Here's a theme that you may not think of with Seder because it's not super emphasized, but what do we do at the plagues? The plagues, what ritual do we do when we mention each of the plagues? Yep. We take some wine out of our cup. What does wine represent in Judaism? Joy. So we are decreasing our joy, even though we are so happy that we are let out of Egypt. We know Egyptians had to suffer for us to get out, and so we are reducing our joy because they had to suffer even though they were our oppressors. So of these themes, are there any that really resonate with you, and maybe they resonate with you more this year than other years? Anyone want to share maybe at your Seder something you especially want to make sure you highlight because it's important to you? You can just raise your hand. Gary?
Well, the welcoming the stranger part, the hospitality part, every year I invite someone that's never been to a Seder before. It's kind of a theme that we always do. And it's a teachable moment, and plus it's just fun.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And a lot of people invite non-Jews to their Seder. That's a popular custom that people have. And again, welcoming and letting people know, you know, here's what we, here's this great thing that Jews do, and be part of it. Any other of these themes that kind of speak to you in some way that you want to make sure you, the kids can talk to? It's a quiet crowd. Okay. I made sure to wear my flats tonight. I did not make the same mistake I did last time.
So I didn't think about this for Seder before, but I like to see hope up there because I think a lot of us are in need of that right now.
So remembering that things can seem dark, but there is hope.
For our family, it's Exodus. Because we've been there. It's very personal, and we invite always strangers. Our neighbors know that they can come to our house for Seder or sharing.
So I am skipping ahead to my last slide by saying this, but it is part of the mitzvah to make this story your story. So telling your own story at Seder is definitely part of. Oh, and I want to mention one thing. It's always good to have some tzedakah given at the beginning, because one of the things we talk about enslavement is people enslaved by poverty, and that's a nice tie-in to contributing, especially at the Seder when we talk about we want to be open to those in need. So you may have been confused. I know I have in the past. That we hold up the matzah at one point and we say, this is a symbol of hope that we were freed. And then at another time we hold up the matzah and we say, this is the bread of affliction. And it's like, wait, what? Like, is this good or bad? Like, what is it? But if you notice at Seder, there's a lot of things like that. There are a lot of things that seem very much in opposition to each other, but they are living together. It's a Seder that's a yes and. Seder is yes and not no but. It is very inclusive. I had a professor once who said that is the characteristic of Jewish thinking from other different thinking at the time of the rabbis, the yes and, that we can live in tension between things that don't seem to go together, that are opposite, and we can hold them both, because that is what life is about. Life is always much more complicated. So matzah is the bread of hope, and it's the bread of affliction. It reminds us that we got out of Egypt, but it also reminds us of the hardship we had to get there, and also, you know, we break it, the brokenness that still is in the world. We're thankful for our freedom, so that is happy, but we also recognize not everyone is free, and we have to think of them. We are rejoiced at being freed from our oppressors, and yet we decrease our joy because they had to suffer. It never made sense to me. Haroset, or Harosis, as I grew up calling it, which is very sweet, right? It's if you're Ashkenazi, it's made up of apples and wine and cinnamon and whatever else you throw in there. Nuts, walnuts usually. There's all different kinds of harosa, but that's kind of basic Ashkenazi, and it's very, very sweet and yummy, and everyone likes it. And then you're told, oh, this is the mortar that they used to build, the slaves had to build with. I'm like, well, that doesn't really go. Because this is like yummy, everyone's liking to eat it. Like, that doesn't make much sense to me. And then we take the spring symbol, which is often parsley. So spring is the rebirth and the happiness. And then we dip it in, what do we dip it in? We dip it in salt water, we dip it in tears. So what's that about? And there's so much of this that goes on. And I read something interesting about how freedom also is freedom of thought. That this may represent the fact, and especially as we live in a society that many of us are thinking is getting more polarized, that opposites can coexist on the same table, in the same ceremony, that this is part of life, that opposites can blend together in a positive way. It may be something you might want to talk about at your Seder table. You know, opposites are here at our Seder, and how do people who are opposites, you know, what do they maybe have to offer each other? So, seeing both sides. Creativity is the name of the game. It is not a brand new thing that the Reform movement did to say, let's do creative stuff at our Seder. This is ancient, ancient idea about what Seder's supposed to be. So the traditional Haggadah says the more and the longer one expands and embellishes the story, the more commendable you are. So not only are you supposed to go longer, but all kinds of creative embellishments and things you want to overlay. Maybe your family is very into talking about personal things. Maybe you're into talking about political things. Maybe you're interested in talking about spiritual things. Whatever it is, however, whatever you add to it, that's part of it. I think this is very interesting. So the Seder is a lot about teaching our children, and they understood a lot of things about education that we know today, about how to engage and how to get questions asked. And this was kind of interesting. There was a rule from the early rabbis that said, everyone is obligated to drink 4 cups of wine. Men, women, and children. And my parents told me when I was 3, my mom forgot to buy juice, so they gave me wine, and I kept running around the dining room table laughing and falling down. So I don't remember, but I don't know how I felt the next day either. So Rabbi Yehuda said, what good is wine for children? Give them popcorn and peanuts. Now, I will point out popcorn and peanuts for Ashkenazi Jews today are not kosher for Passover, but they weren't concerned. That was way before this. Rabbi Yehuda said, what good is wine for children? Give them popcorn and peanuts to keep them from falling asleep. Get them to ask questions. So maybe your kids will have, you know, a cup full of Passover candy instead of a cup full of wine. This creativity, this idea that it's supposed to be a night where everything is different and creative and you're coming up with innovative things is old as the hills. So this is not a new idea. The set. Okay, so pointing out some things. So one thing that you could do if you're having a Seder at your home and you're not having that many people is you could do, most of the service is before the meal. You do obviously have a little bit after the meal, but there's not that much. I've had Seder where everyone sits around the living room and does the Seder part just sitting on the couches and on just the comfortable chairs and does the Seder there and then goes to the dining room when the meal is served. And sometimes that's just a nice setting that sets the tone for conversation. That's something you might want to do. So the set, so this is supposed to be a tent. I actually had a couple people who couldn't come tonight who had pup tents. So this is my version of a tent. I've seen, you know, been at Seders where they decorate. So we have our Red Sea here. And we have our pyramids. Obviously, you need no artistic ability to decorate your own Seder. You know, I've seen just, you know, people can dress up. They can put on, you know, desert hat wear. So I found some slides from Pinterest and other places of things, you know, especially if you have kids, you know, give them something to do before it starts. We have a little pyramid set up there. I thought this was a cute table. You notice everyone has plagues by there. It looks like the little marshmallows are hail and the darkness, the glasses for the darkness, and they have different plagues by their plates. These are red peppers, red and green peppers. And I'm not sure what the eyes are made of, but that is someone who's more talented than I am, probably. I loved all of these. You know, they can, little centerpieces. I like the flower holder a lot. And the house. Good use of matzah, yes. Little Lego people going through the Red Sea. There's another great table. All the Lego people passing through. So each side of the table is like the sea with the fish. So these are just ideas. I'm sparking ideas. So it's up to you guys. You have a week now to get yourselves together here. I love that cake, that Passover cake. Again, the splitting of the sea. And just a table with different animals and pyramid and so. So I want to point out that very early on in the Seder, you do the blessing for karpas. So does that sound familiar, karpas? What usually do we use for karpas? Parsley. Once you say the blessing for parsley, which is the blessing for things that grow under the ground, berei priha adama, you have now blessed anything that grows under the ground. So this is a good time to bring out platters of vegetables because your guests get hungry and they start eating the matzah, and that drives me crazy. It's not time for the matzah. We haven't done a matzah. Like, get your mouth away from the matzah. So instead, very early on, we do that karpas. It's like the third thing that you do. And at that point, you can bring out, you know, potatoes, you know, sweet and regular potatoes that are boiled and cut up. You can, you know, anything that grows under the ground, you can put a dip out, and then they can munch, and they can do it kosherly because they've said the blessing. So that just takes care of one of my little pet peeves. Okay. So we know about the four questions. We teach our children in the school the four questions. The four questions are not really four questions. It's a potential opening question or statement and then four statements. So they're kind of misleading. But really, this is one of the parts of the Seder that's put in there because what you're supposed to do at this point is the kids are supposed to ask questions. So what do you think happened 2,000 years ago when the parents said to the kids, okay, kids, what questions do you have about tonight? What do you think the kids did? Yeah, I don't know. Looking down, getting the popcorn that's sitting on the table. So children were exactly the same 2,000 years ago as now. So that's why questions were starting to be provided, because kids didn't know what to ask. So that's why we have questions provided. But you don't have to. You can, there's other ways to provoke questions. It is nice for the kids to know Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. It's a tradition. It's good for them to know it and ask it. But real questions are part of it. So here are some. So one thing you can do is like what I did when you walked in. I said, what would be an interesting question to discuss? And you can have your guests do that when they come in and just stick them in a bowl. I've done this. And then sort of at random parts in the Seder, just pull them out and have a discussion. So here's some of your questions. How does the Exodus Passover story relate to Israelis as they are in the Promised Land? Good question. What is your favorite Passover Seder memory? So that's a good discussion. Why did Aaron and Miriam just go along with Moses after he came back to Egypt? So you could discuss, these are all good questions because they're all so different, and that's what you want. So this might be a more psychological question of what was the dynamic. Here are these people who grew up in slavery, and their brother who lived this privileged life comes back and is like, oh, we're going to do this. And, you know, what do you think their response would be? So that's a very psychological question. Why do we celebrate Passover so many weeks after the Exodus story is read in the Torah? Well, that's because we read the Torah in chronological order, and that's just how it comes. But people wonder, I get that question every single year. Can't quite read that one. What do you see as the most challenging thing facing Jewish teens today? This would be a great question, especially if you have teens at your Seder. That would be a wonderful question. I think that was it. What's your favorite part of the Seder? How did Moses get 1.6 million Jews to move so fast when they left? Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, so those are the questions. But you know, you can see if you let your guests just write down questions, you're going to get a whole range of things. You might get, let me ask you, this is an interesting question. Is there any part of the Seder that troubles you? Is there any part of the Seder that when you get to it and you read it, you kind of think, I'm a little uncomfortable with this, or I'm not sure about this?
The part with the four sons when they talk about the wicked son.
Okay.
As somebody who works with kids, I have trouble thinking of kids being wicked.
Okay. I think you are not alone in that. I often actually skip that part because I don't think it offers enough. I think other parts of, you can't do everything, you know, so I feel like some parts offer more than other parts. That part has somehow really caught on with people, and I'm not sure why. I've seen that interpreted in different Haggadahs as like the one who challenges the one, like just in different language. Is there anything else that makes anyone maybe uncomfortable about Seder or what we do with Seder or things that we read?
The slaying of the firstborn.
Mm-hmm. The plagues can be very touchy. And I'll tell you, I have struggled with, we have many songs for kids. For some reason, that is the part of the Seder, and I'm still processing this. It's gonna take me a while, because I've been thinking about this for at least a couple of years. Of all the parts of the Seder, the one that seems the most sort of really engaging with the kids are the plagues, which is arguably the most problematic part of the Seder. So we have froggy songs, we have plague songs, we have cute plague things. Look at this table. There are so many cute plague things here. I got these plague bowling pins that I love. So it's each one is a different plague. So there's the blood and there's the frogs, and you set them up and you bowl. All right, I didn't do that well, I got two, but you can bowl them at your Seder. So it's an interesting question what we do with this. So I'll tell you what I've done, what I'm currently doing with them, but it's something I'm still processing. First of all, I think it would be good if someone would write more children's songs about other parts of the Seder besides the plague. I mean, how many kids do not like doing the frog song? Frogs there, frogs there, frogs are whatever, everywhere, jumping, yeah. So, you know, can we come up with maybe songs that are just as engaging at other parts? What I do with the kids' Seders is I often say, we're gonna first do them in a sort of a jovial kind of way, except for the slaying of the firstborn, which I can't make a joke of that one. And then we're gonna do it when we take the wine out and I talk about how we're not happy about it. So that's kind of how I've come to terms with it, is doing it sort of in the fun way, but then following it up with the understanding that these were things that caused people to suffer. Jerry, did you have something to add?
There wasn't a particularly specific part of the Seder that was problematic, but in terms of trying to make a Seder our own, what we did, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, was I didn't buy every single Haggadah on the shelf, but I bought a lot of Haggadahs, and we now have our own Haggadah, basically made up of this little of this and a little of that and a little of something else, and that's how we sort of dealt with that problem.
Yeah, that's great. So one way to get kids to ask questions is I sometimes carry around these Hebrew bazooka Joes and say, if you ask a good question, and of course you're not, you know, the meal's not coming for a while, you know, you get this or maybe a kosher for Passover. So, Owen, do you have a good question about Passover? About the Seder? About what happens at the Seder, right? You guys just had the model Seder.
No?
No? Can't think of anything? Zachary? How did Moses lead all out of fear? Guess what? You get a Bazooka Joe. Don't open it in the sanctuary. Because I don't want to get fired. Yes.
How did Moses make the sea red?
Oh, that's a good question. So I'm not going to answer. I'm just going to give you some gum. It's a Bazooka Joe. Anyone else have a question? Yes, Owen.
How did the frogs get on Pharaoh's head when he got up?
Oh, good question. There you go. Wait till after services. Ah, Joshua. Suddenly, you notice how suddenly we're getting a lot of questions? Yes, Joshua.
Why do we eat macaroons at the Seder?
Okay, there you go. Katie?
How were the plagues chosen?
Oh, excellent question.
Okay, so you get the idea. That's another thing you can do. Give rewards that are food-oriented for asking good questions or making good statements. And so for the part of the plagues that are fun, there are so many different things you can do. You've probably all seen these plagues bags. There are all kinds of puppets that you can use. We have a ton of them here if you want to borrow a set for each of the plagues. We have things like hail. Yeah, got your attention there. Here's some frogs. They jump, not very well, but they're very cheap. There we go. And let's see, cattle disease. And some good flies. What? Flies. You get a fly. Some other basic ideas, using other cultures' practices. In Morocco, when the middle matzah is broken, they break it into a hay, or maybe you have a contest to see who can make the best letter hay, because that's part of God's name. You're probably familiar with, this is wrapped up in plastic. During Dayenu in Afghanistan, when they sing Dayenu, they whip each other. Die, Dayenu, die, Dayenu, die, Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. Okay, there you go. So you can have a bunch of scallions out at your table for that. 4 cups of wine, we are free. We recline when we drink our wine because that is how, in the rabbi's time, the wealthy and luxurious dined. They were stretched on couches. But today, that might not be our idea of living a life of luxury. So what might you think of as your place of, like, the most amazing place you can think of where you're living a life of luxury? What do you think, Zachary? Living in a house as a millionaire. What about you, Caitlin? You have any idea on that? What?
Living in Jerusalem.
Ooh. So we're going to get to that, the last thing. So, and since it's getting so late, I am going to wrap this up. This I'll just mention that Seder plate, you can see some things on here that are maybe unconventional on the Seder plate. The orange is sometimes on there to represent the fact that not everyone feels included in the Jewish people, but everyone is. An orange belongs on a Seder plate, just like every Jew, regardless of who they are, belongs as part of the Jewish people. The beet is not a newfangled vegetarian option. It goes back to after the temple was destroyed, Rabbi Akiva, I believe it was, said we should not have a shank bone. You cannot bring sacrifices anymore, so it's inappropriate to have lamb here as if it was the temple. So that he replaced with a beet. But people today who are vegetarian use that traditional option too, if they do not want to have a bone on their plate. And I'm skipping ahead just because I'm looking at the time. Remember that in each generation, each person's obligated to see yourself as though you personally came forth from Egypt. So these were just a few scattering of ideas. How will you make your Seder your story? That's the point of it. How will you make this story your story? How will you make it your guest story? Your job is just to make your Seder your own. There's no wrong Seder. You make it applicable and relevant and fun for you and your guests. So a very Zisen Pesach, as they used to say, a very sweet Pesach. And
Let's continue with Aleinu, and I'll ask anyone who is under bar or bat mitzvah age to come up to open the doors. And
my prayer book's in the ark.
Page 59. There are stars up above so far away, we only see their light long, long after the star itself is gone. And so it is with people who we love. Their memories keep shining ever brightly, though their time with us is done. But the stars that light up the darkest night, these are the lights that guide us. As we live our days, these are the ways we remember. We remember fondly our beloved members whose yahrzeits, whose death has been over the past year. Carol Lewis, Ruth Margulies, Yetta Trachtenberg, Susan Feidelman, Sheldon Miller, Toby Konigsberg. We mourn the losses in the last 30 days for our members. Dr. Richard Miller, cousin of Leslie Claire Greenberg, Rabbi Lynn Landsberg, colleague of Rabbi Amy Perlin, Patricia Weissman, mother of Rob Weissman, Peter Abrams, cousin of Mark Spector, Florence Konigsberg Brody, aunt of Jim Konigsberg, Leona Grubb, aunt of Tammy Stein. We remember our beloved members, Stephen Siegel, and the yahrzeits this week of these loved ones of our community members. Joyce Cowdery, Robert Cowdery, Dr. Seymour Panzer, Margaret Schoenfeld, Philip Kotkin, Charlotte Rosenzweig, Sarah Schwartzberg, William Steiner, Sally Friedman, Janice Hughes, Michael Lickstrahl, Yetsun Liu, Robert Strauss, Miriam Copeland, Phyllis Bond, Joe Bond, Alyssa Froman, Dr. Harry Orlinsky, Lee Katz, Rose O'Rourke, Bernie Rosenblum, Felice Rubin, Jerry Sanofsky, Anita Rubin, Eli Appleton, Dr. Charles Coffey, Ethel Blank, Sarah Feldman, Edna Paulson, Abraham Folotsky, Grace Puglisi, and Brian Yerkes. We honor all of their lives and their memories as we together recite Kaddish on page 60. Please rise. Yitgadal v'yitkadash shemei rabbah. V'yalma divrach yirutei v'yamlech malchutei. V'chayechon uv'yomechon v'chayei d'cho beit Yisrael. Ba'gala uv'yizman kari v'yimru amen. Yehei shmei rabbah mevarach le'olam olmei olmaya. Yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitpa'ar v'yitromam v'yitnaseh. V'yitadar v'yitaleh v'yitalal shmei d'kudsha barichu. Le'ela min kol berachata v'shirata, tushbachata v'nechemata, dami ran b'alma v'yimru, amen. Yehei shlama rabba min shemaya, v'chayim aleinu v'yal kol Yisrael, v'yimru, amen. Ose shalom b'mromav, hu ya'ase shalom, aleinu v'yal kol Yisrael, v'yimru, amen.
V'yimru.
From this moment of sacred memory to the joy of celebrating the day of Shabbat. And the person here closest to Bar Bat Mitzvah is Katie. So I'm going to ask Katie, and do you want to be joined by your family to come up? And I'll help you out. This is without any warning whatsoever. But, you know, you're getting close to that time where you're going to be called up here a lot. So we're joining in Kiddush on page 61. And Katie, when's your bat mitzvah?
Next year, May 4th.
Next May 4th. Okay. So we'll read this together. The seventh day is consecrated to the Lord our God. With wine, our symbol of joy, we celebrate this day and its holiness. We give thanks for all our blessings, for life and health, for work and rest, for home and love and friendship. On Shabbat, eternal sign of creation, we remember that we are created in the divine image. We therefore raise the cup in thanksgiving. So do you want to pick up the cup?
Very good. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei bari hagafen. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, v'ratzavanu, v'shabbat kodsho, v'ahava u'ratzon hinklilanu, zikaron
Motzi lechem min haaretz,
bread. Our voices join in song together as our joyful prayer is said. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Well done. Thank you. You may be seated.
We're double teaming you today. Shabbat Shalom. My name is Neil Seiden, and
I'm Susan Biggs.
And we're here to entertain you for a couple of minutes. I was told by one of my mentors to get some time back from announcements and cut them short, so we'll do that. As I look at the assembled congregation tonight, I see nothing but members except for our honored guests from Florida, so thank you for joining us. And we might ask for Hadley up here to make this even a little better. Thank you, Rob and Janet, for sharing your gifts of music. And Rabbi Rappaport, thank you for sharing with us ways of making our seders more creative and enjoyable, and for leading us in worship tonight. I'm going to cut to the chase with a lot of the normal announcements, because this crowd knows them all. I just want to give you a couple of reminders. As you all know by now, Passover starts 1 week from tonight. No Shabbat services next week. And also for Minion Maker goers, no Minion Makers next Saturday. The other announcement I'd like to offer is that on April 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. here at TBS, please join the Social Action Committee for the next Civil Discourse Forum. We're discussing the refugee issue. If you haven't been one up to this point, it's still not too late to join in on the fun. And if you have any questions about it, Jim Sturm, raise your hand, Jim. We'll be at Oneg, and please ask Jim some questions. We have some other special events coming up, and I'm going to ask Susan to talk about those.
Great. With apologies to Dr. Seuss. One fish, two fish, come and be Jewish. From there to here, from here to there, Jewish things are everywhere. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, please come celebrate our rabbi, who is Jewish. Black fish, blue fish, old fish, new fish, our rabbi is a great big star. Folks will come from near and far. We're going to celebrate her. Yes, we are. There will be prayers and songs to hum. There will be joy, so be sure to come. Some will be glad. Some will wear plaid. Some will be very, very sad. Why are they glad and plaid and sad? I do not know. Go ask your dad. We will sing. We will dance. Come and celebrate her. This one last chance. From there to here, from here to there, Jewish things are everywhere. We will share a laugh. We will share a tear. Rick and Beth and Sheldon will be here. Havdalah with lights, a concert to cheer before the rabbi and Gary do disappear. Not one event is like another. Don't ask me why, just invite your mother. One fish, two fish, come and be Jewish. Please be sure to mark your calendars for our April weekend of special events to celebrate Rabbi Perlin. We want to show our love and appreciation to her by filling the sanctuary and the temple all weekend long. On Friday night, April 27th, we will have a special service with a sermon given by the president of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute, and the music will be provided by Sheldon Lowe. On Saturday, April 28th at 6 p.m., we will enjoy a two-hour concert featuring an all-star lineup of Temple B'nai Shalom's favorite musicians. Havdalah and desserts will follow. Guests who are not members of TBS are welcome at the concert. An $18 donation for non-members would be appreciated. We hope you'll all come celebrate our rabbi that weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Well, of course, there's Oneg afterwards, and we look forward to having a little schmooze and discussion. Have a restful Shabbat, a peaceful, a great week. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. So as part of the creative things you may choose to do for Seder is to pick some freedom songs that you like. You don't have to pick the ones that are in the Haggadah. So here's one of them. We're going to end with If I Had a Hammer. May you be blessed with a Passover that brings you meaning, at which you can tell your story, a Passover that will bring meaning and strength to you and to all the world. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.